Good morning, everybody. Who's excited about At the Movies? All right. It is week two. Hopefully your stomachs are full of popcorn already. If they're not, I will not be offended if you go out there and get some more while I'm in the middle of talking. I will not be offended at all. That's what we're here for, guys. I am Pastor Kirby. My wife Jennifer and I are the youth pastors here, and I get the absolute privilege to come up here and bring you guys the movie/message here for week two of At the Movies. Wasn't week one awesome? Come on, y'all were here last week. Wasn't that great? If you missed it, go back and watch on the Victory app Pastor Ben's message that he brought from the movie Catch Me If You Can. Tied it in with the story of Jacob the deceiver in the Old Testament. And it was just, oh man, it was so powerful talking about the power of truth and the power that lies can have over our life and labels and all that. It's an amazing, amazing message. I highly encourage you guys to go back and watch the message from week one. It was so good. As you guys know, before we get into the movie for today, we normally like to start off with a little bit of trivia, a little bit of fun here at the beginning. And maybe the theme of all these questions that we've got will help point you a little bit to the movie that we're going to do. And the first question you'll kind of see, okay, we're going to go with a little bit of a Marvel theme here, okay? We got any Marvel fans in the house? There we go. All right. You won't be disappointed today then. Okay. So the first trivia question, okay, if anybody knows it, you just shout it out. In the first Avengers movie, during the climactic final battle scene in New York City, Iron Man suggests that after the battle is over, they all go get this type of food two blocks away. Shawarma, that's right. And then to pay it off, they had like a 30-second long famous post-credit scene where all the superheroes are just spent, exhausted, just eating shawarma in silence. And it's very surreal. Anyways, shawarma. Yeah, that's it. Okay, number two. Here we go. The second. You guys knew that one. Now that's very impressive. Okay. Second one here. Here we go. X-Men. We got any X-Men fans in the house? There we go. Awesome. Okay. I did not know the answer to this until I looked it up this week. And hopefully, if any of you guys know this one, I'll be very impressed, okay? In going away from the movies, going to the comics, okay? So any of you purists out there, okay? In 1991, there was a special edition X-Men comic that came out where they named who the strongest mutant in the entire Marvel universe was. There's a lot of mutants on my X-Men fans, right? They named the strongest mutant in the entire Marvel universe. Does anybody know what it is? Shout it out before we show the answer. Any guesses? Wolverine or Jean Grey? Magneto? Those are good guesses. I'm not hearing the correct answer, though. Can you bring me up the answer? Bring me up the answer. It's Santa Claus. According to the Marvel Universe, Santa Claus is a mutant, and he is the most powerful mutant in the entire universe. Now you know. It might have helped if I had told you guys that that special edition X-Men was the holiday special edition. Anyway, so, okay, and now for our last question. He's got a strong name, a great name, but can anybody name the Marvel artist who was famous for creating some of their most famous superheroes, including the Incredible Hulk, Captain America, the X-Men, Ant-Man, and Spider-Man. Does anybody know it? He's got a great name. Not Stan Lee. What's that? Jack Kirby. That is correct. Great name. Strong name. There we go. I'm a big fan of his name. And one of the heroes that Jack Kirby invented is who we're going to be watching today. Oh, Gordon, thank you for getting me this thing. Look at this. Who is this, anybody? Shout this out. Captain America. That's right. That's right. I actually read, so when they first came out with Captain America, it was in the middle of World War II, okay? And there were actually a lot. And I don't know if you guys know this, but during World War II, or at the beginning, before World War II started, there was actually a large number of German sympathizers in the United States. And so Jack Kirby, they would constantly be like painting Captain America, like punching Hitler in the face and stuff like that. And he actually got some death threats. And there's one story where they called Jack Kirby and they said, come down to the office and we're gonna kill you. They threatened to kill him. And he said, y'all just wait. I'm going to be right down there. And he went down there and nobody was there when he went down there, okay? He said, we're gonna throw down. And nobody was there. Maybe they got scared. Maybe it was made up. I don't know. But anyways, so we're going to go Captain America. That is, it's a great story. It really is. And as we're going to this first clip, the first clip that we're going to show, it really shows kind of the heart of a lot of stuff we're going to be talking about today. The first clip that we're going to be talking about, excuse me, before we do get there, I think they said it in the announcements, but just want to reiterate as well. It's an action movie. It's an adventure movie. In some of the clips, there is some PG-13, you know, fighting and violence and things like that. We edited a lot of that stuff out. But again, just so you guys are aware. But anyways, this first clip that we're going to take a look at and get started off with today, it kind of shows the heart of what we really want to be looking at today. And that is, you know, this first clip is all about defying the odds, okay? The first clip we're going to be looking at is all about defying the odds. It's all about when all hope seems lost, keep on hoping. Come on, somebody. It's all about when you make mistakes, there could still be victory at the end.
Nussmeier goes back, shoulder, touchdown! Kyren Lacy, and LSU wins!
How did that get in there? Wait. Did anybody stay up for that last night? That's... No way! Like I said, when all hope seems lost, just keep on hoping, y'all. So for real though, to kick off our movie kicks off in the middle of World War II. And it kicks off with our captain, Captain America, before he becomes Captain America, when he's just little, weak Steve Rogers. And in World War II, like I said, it's World War II, and young Americans are being drafted all over the country, but not all of them are eligible.
Roger, Rogers. What'd your father die of?
Mustard gas. He was in the 107th Infantry. I was hoping I could be assigned.
Your mother?
She was a nurse in a TB ward. Got hit, couldn't shake him.
Sorry, son.
Look, just give me a chance.
You've been eligible on your asthma alone.
Is there anything you can do?
I'm doing it. I'm saving your life.
War continues to ravage Europe. But help is on the way. Every able-bodied young man is lining up to serve his country. Even little Timmy is doing his part. Collecting scrap metal. Nice work, Timmy.
Who cares? Play the movie already.
Hey, you want to show some respect?
Meanwhile, overseas, our brave boys are showing the Axis powers that the price of freedom is never too high.
Let's go. Get on with it. Hey, just start the cartoon.
Hey, you want to shut up?
Together with allied forces, we'll face any threat, no matter the size.
You just don't know when to give up, do you?
You can do this all day.
Hey, pick on someone your own size.
Sometimes I think you like getting punched.
I had him on the ropes.
How many times is this? Ah, you're from Paramus now. You know it's illegal to lie on the enlistment form. And seriously, Jersey.
You get your orders?
The 107th, Sergeant James Barnes, shipping out for England first thing tomorrow.
should be going.
Come on. Steve Rogers tries so hard to get drafted. He so desperately wants to be in the fight, defending America, defending freedom. But he's too small. He's too sick. And as you can see there, his friend James Barnes, or Bucky, is used to bailing him out of trouble time and time and time again. But just like we saw, Steve doesn't know when to give up. He keeps looking for a draft location that will actually accept him, despite all of his shortcomings. Eventually, Steve is found by a scientist who's actually working with the military on an experimental program that they hope will produce a super soldier that can defeat the Nazis. And we'll see in this next clip, that program is called the Strategic Scientific Reserve. And in the next clip, we pick up where Steve is beginning his training, and the ones in charge decide whether or not Steve has the qualities that they're looking for.
General Patton has said, wars are fought with weapons, but they are won by men. We are going to win this war because we have the best men. And because they are going to get better. Much better. The Strategic Scientific Reserve is an allied effort made up of the best minds in the free world. Our goal is to create the best army in history. But every army starts with one man. At the end of this week, we will choose that man. He will be the first in a new breed of super soldier.
Roger! Get my rifle out of the mud!
Nay, we'll personally escort Adolf Hitler to the gates of hell.
Up the base, ladies! Let's go! Let's go!
Flag means we're only at the halfway point. First man to bring it to me gets a ride back with Agent Carter. Move, move! Come on, get up there! That's all you got! This army's in trouble! Get up there, Hart! Come on, get up there! Nobody's got that flag in 17 years! Now fall back in line! Come on, fall in! Let's go! Get back into formation! Rogers! I said fall in!
Ladies, come on. My grandmother has more life in her, God rest her soul. Move it!
You're not really thinking about picking Rogers, are you?
I wasn't just thinking about it. It's a clear choice.
When you brought a 90-pound asthmatic onto my army base, I let it slide. Maybe it'd be useful to you, like a gerbil. Never thought you'd pick him.
Up!
Stick a needle in that kid's arm, it's gonna go right through him.
Come on, girls.
Look at that. He's making me cry.
I am looking for qualities beyond the physical.
Do you know how long it took to set up this project? All the groveling I had to do in front of Senator What's-His-Name's committees?
Yes, I know. I am well aware of your efforts.
Then throw me a bone. Hodge passed every test we gave him. He's big, he's fast, he obeys orders, he's a soldier.
He's a bully.
You don't win wars with niceness, Doctor. You win wars with guts.
Get away! Get back!
Dummy grenade. All clear. Back in formation.
Is this a test?
He's still skinny.
He's still skidding. I love that line from the doctor. His name was Dr. Erskine, the scientist. He says, I'm looking for qualities beyond the physical. And as I was watching that clip, it just reminded me so much of the Lord's aspect, the Lord's approach as he's searching out for a king for his people in the Old Testament. When he's looking for King David and he sends the prophet Samuel to go look for David to anoint him as the next king of Israel. And Samuel has, he's in the correct household where God has sent him, and he's looking at all the brothers. God hasn't told him which one yet. He just sees all the brothers, and he looks at the tall one, he looks at the handsome one, and he says, surely this is the one. And in 1 Samuel 16, we see what the Lord responds to Samuel as Samuel's saying, surely this big, tall, handsome one, that's surely the one that God wants to be the next king of Israel. And then God responds to Samuel. He says, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I've rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. He's speaking about David. He's saying, look for qualities beyond the physical. Look past what your eyes are seeing. Look with the eyes of faith. And when God is, what that shows us is when God himself is raising up a king for his people, when God is showing us what a real leader looks like, when God's showing us someone who makes an impact in the world, someone he handpicks, he's saying he's looking for somebody who's more than just strong. He's looking for somebody with a different kind of strength. What that shows us is there, I like to put it this way, there's a strength that's greater than strength. There's a strength that's greater than just the physical. And what I think all of us can kind of take away from the movie, from the principle that we see there of God searching out somebody, even in this room today, watching online with us today, he's searching for somebody even today who has that kind of strength. That's the strength, that's what he's looking for. And not just what he's looking for in you, it's what he wants to produce in you. That's our God. That's what he wants from us, and that's what his desire is. And so as we continue on with Steve's story, skinny Steve Rogers is indeed chosen to be the first participant in the super soldier experiment. As you see from the clip here, he goes through all these different, you know, wires and injections and all these things the scientists do. And what we see is he was chosen first, and then he undergoes a transformation. He was chosen, and then he undergoes a transformation. It's incredible for us to see, because that's what the Bible shows us. That God chooses us, that God loves us. The Bible says that Jesus was thinking of you and me when he died on the cross so that we could be forgiven, made whole, and made new, the Bible says. Look, y'all, God wants to save you just as you are, but he doesn't want you to remain just as you are. Come on. He saves you for something greater. He saves you for something more. We're chosen and we are transformed. And so when we watch these movies of adventure, when we watch these movies of just, we see somebody, it's played out in black and white and it's played out so simply, you know. But we see people who are living lives of impact, really, truly saving the world. And don't you know, that's exactly what God's desire is for each and every one of us. He doesn't just save you so we can sit on our spiritual lazy boy and coast until we get to heaven. No, no, no. God saves us. And the Bible says he puts his spirit, the spirit of the living God inside of us. Why? For goosebumps? No. So we can go and change the world. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, we are God's masterpiece and he's created us new in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he has planned for us long ago. Come on, y'all. God's got good things planned for you. Good works planned for us to do. Look, the earliest Christians, when they went into one town, you know, the people didn't say, they're so nice. Did you see the Christians that moved in next door? They're so nice. They're so kind. Their kid, he's so good. That's not what they said. You know what they said when the Christians moved into their town? They said, the men who have turned the world upside down have come here. Come on, y'all, let's get to turning this world upside down. The Christians don't need to be the ones complaining that the world is the way it is. The Christians need to get to work turning it upside down, y'all. Jesus has created us for a purpose. He's forgiven us and created us anew for a great purpose. And so we see here, we're chosen, we're transformed. Steve Rogers here, he's chosen, he's transformed, he's given this power. But of course, you know, because it's a superhero story, that transformation is completely physical, right? But like we said at the beginning, God is looking at our hearts. That transformation has to be in the heart. The power that he receives is physical. The power that we receive is so much more. The power that we receive is so much more. And I believe kind of the power that Steve Rogers kind of reflects to us from Scripture. And what I think is a superpower for all of us Christians that doesn't get the credit that it deserves. But man, that superpower that God wants to plant inside of us. And just bear with me, and we're going to develop it throughout the next few minutes. That superpower that God develops within us is humility. Humility is a superpower. The first thing we said is that there's a strength greater than strength. The second point is that humility is a superpower. And now when I say that, not everybody gets super excited because let me qualify that. I'm not talking about a mopey, woe is me kind of humility, okay? That's not the Bible's idea of humility. That's not how the Bible outlines it. C.S. Lewis sums it up so well. He says, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. It's not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. And don't you know that's exactly what Jesus outlines? When they say, what are the greatest commandments? What are the greatest things that we could do? What does Jesus say? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then love your neighbors just as much as you love yourself. It's all directed. My love, my attention, my hopes, my desires is all outward focused on God, all outward focused on the people around me. I'm thinking of myself less. And when Jesus comes into our hearts and when he transforms our hearts, it changes my heart from being all about me all the time, every day, to being all about him and all about others. That's how we begin to turn the world upside down. Humility is a superpower. And y'all, it's an uphill battle. It's an uphill battle because from the moment we're born, we're pretty selfish. Am I right? Anybody got kids, right? You don't have to teach them how to be selfish, okay? My parents didn't have to teach me how to be selfish. Look, I just remember one time when I was really sick, okay? I think I had come down with, what do they call it? The man flu? Is it what they call it? It hit hard. I was dying, but I'm better. Anyways, I was in bed real sick one time. And one of our kids came up. They were real little at this point. And he crawls up in bed with me. And I'm just, I'm dying, whatever. He comes up to me. He says, Daddy, I hope you feel better in the morning. I said, buddy, thank you. That means so much. I was touched. And he said, Daddy, I hope you feel good enough to go get us donuts. Me too, man. Me too. I hope I feel good enough for that too. But humility is a superpower, y'all. The Bible, God outlines it so much. He outlines it in the Old Testament. He outlines it in the heroes of the Old Testament. He outlines it in the book of Proverbs. He outlines it in Psalms. He outlines it in the New Testament. It's everywhere when you look for it. Proverbs chapter 22, it says, the reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. It's what God wants to give us when we stop thinking about ourselves. Humility is a superpower. It says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. It's our superpower. And so to continue on and see how Steve begins to just, he's forgetting about himself immediately after his transformation takes place. You saw in that little clip, there's a double agent there present at the experiment, and he shoots down the doctor, steals the injection, runs off, and the doctor gives Steve one last reminder. You may have all these big muscles now. You may have super strength. You may be super fast, but it's the heart. It's the humility. It's something more than just outward strength. And so Steve immediately gets the chance to prove himself, prove his heart, test out his new powers. And right after the experiment, like I said, that double agent steals the serum. kills the doctor and escapes. And the new Steve Rogers pursues. Those bullies better watch out now, huh? Come on. I love that clip too, because on the flip side of humility, there's this other virtue that the Bible talks about so much that Steve Rogers kind of embodies and shows us as well, and that is courage, bravery. With his muscles and without his muscles, he says, I can do this all day. The righteous may go down, but he'll get back up. Come on. He shows courage. And again, just as much as humility is just interwoven throughout every page of Scripture, so also is courage. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. It's everywhere throughout Scripture. Have humility and have courage. Again, to go back to C.S. Lewis, what he says about courage is that courage is not simply one other virtue. He says that courage is the form of every virtue at their testing point. He says that it's at the point of highest reality. He says that if you're trying to have chastity or honesty or mercy, but if it yields to danger, it means it's only under certain conditions. He says, Pilate was merciful until it became risky. Courage is underneath. It's the foundation. It's the bedrock of every virtue that God is trying to instill within us and develop within us. Courage is when those virtues are at their testing point. If we want to have humility, We have to have courage. The way I look at it is this, is that true courage is really, truly humble. Because that means I'm not thinking about myself. A courage that's trying to prove yourself, that's conditional. A courage that's trying to prove yourself, that can only go so far. But true courage is humble because it's thinking about God and it's thinking about others. And on the flip side, true humility is courageous. Because if we're only thinking about God and only thinking about others up to a certain point, that's not really true humility. We still have that selfish motive still taking root and still trying to control. See the beauty of that two-sided coin. To be truly humble is to be truly courageous. To be truly courageous is to be truly humble. So many of us, courage, maybe you find yourself in this boat, right? So many of us, maybe you feel more courageous than humble, or you feel more humble than you feel courageous. I'm going to tell you what, God knows your heart. God knows who you are. And I'm going to tell you what, whichever one you identify with this morning, I believe God's trying to tell you, hey, let's do both. Was that commercial, right? Why not both? Right? Let's go all the way with true courage, with humility, true humility, with courage in our own life. You may not feel like a superhero, but I'm going to tell you what, through courage, through humility, God is trying to show us that he's growing these virtues in our life. And he's wanting us to truly, truly step out for us to see. If we want these virtues to grow up in our life, whether it's courage, whether it's humility, whether it's love, whether it's honesty, whatever it is, we've got to step out. And so we see here in this next clip, Steve has his new powers. He goes across the Atlantic to begin to take part in the war effort. And specifically, after that double agent is found, he goes and he's going after his organization within the Axis, the evil powers. They're called Hydra, and they're headed up by this evil, of course, it's a superhero movie, by this evil supervillain by the name of Red Skull. That sounds like a supervillain, doesn't it? The Red Skull. And in the next clip, intelligence has informed Steve Rogers that the 107th has been captured by Hydra, and that includes his best friend Bucky. After all his life of needing help, it's Steve's turn to go help Bucky.
Supposed to be?
Captain America.
I beg your pardon?
What are we taking, everybody?
I'm from Fresno, Ace.
Is there anybody else? I'm looking for Sergeant James Barnes.
There's an isolation ward in the factory, but no one's ever come back from it.
All right. The tree line is northwest, 80 yards past the gate. I'll meet you guys in the clearing with anybody else I find.
Wait. You know what you're doing?
Yeah. I've knocked that Adolf Hitler over 200 times.
What is happening?
Hey! Not exactly a Buick.
That was Zundo.
Zundo?
Thank you.
outmatched.
I love that picture. I thought you were smaller. But I love the picture of what that paints of what the Christian life really looks like. What a Christian life of purpose looks like. At the beginning of this movie, Steve was in need of saving. Steve was in need of saving. And once he's been chosen, once he's transformed, don't you see? He's the one going out now past enemy lines so that others can be saved. Isn't that a picture of what it is like for us? How many of you guys in here have been saved by the blood of Jesus? Come on. Every single one of us, we are behind enemy lines on this earth. And we're really truly seeking out the ones that God is calling us to. He's sending us. When you're at work, when you're at school, when you're out at the supermarket, everywhere that we go, there are people who are in need of the salvation of Jesus Christ. We are living a life on a mission that God has called us to. If you've been saved, if you've been transformed by His love and His power, there's people everywhere we go. The harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. I love that. I love that. Christianity shows us that when I was saved, I was powerless, right? I was powerless to be saved. Romans 1:16 says this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. It's not my effort. It's not how well I present the gospel. It's the gospel, y'all. It is the power of God to bring salvation. I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to do it with absolute excellence. I'm going to give it my everything. But I know that it is all on God. It is all on Him. He is the one who saves. He is the one who has the power through His gospel and His good news. And as long as I carry that around with me, y'all, everybody in my vicinity has a chance. Come on, y'all. And so for our next clip, as we're going, we progress on as how the movie's going. Steve starts to kind of unravel the plan of what Red Skull is doing. And he allows himself to be captured later on. And we're going to see, you saw Red Skull earlier. Skull, not red. Next scene, Skull will be red. It's a little scary. So parents, if you guys are scared, just hold your teenager's hand or something, you know, and they'll help you get through it, all right? But he does need some sunscreen. That's my son right there. All right, yes. He does need some sunscreen. Ladies, I think you put on some too much blush. I don't know if that's what it is. But anyways, as we see in this next clip, Steve allows himself to be captured so that they can begin to dismantle what the Red Skull is trying to do. He's trying to, he has these bombs. He's trying to basically destroy all the big cities and all the good cities, all the good countries around the world. And so in this next clip, you'll see he allows himself to be captured, but you'll see from his face the Red Skull was a part of that experiment that Steve Rogers was, except it left him disfigured and bitter.
Hey,
Arrogance may not be a uniquely American trait, but I must say you do it better than anyone. But there are limits to what even you can do, Captain. Or did Erskine tell you otherwise?
He told me you were insane.
He resented my genius and tried to deny me what was rightfully mine. But he gave you everything. So, what made you so special?
Nothing. I'm just a kid from Brooklyn.
I can do this all day.
Oh, of course you can, of course. But unfortunately, I am on a tight schedule.
So am I.
I love his response to the question, what makes you so special? There's nothing. Nothing makes me special. He has in his heart still this truth that is set root. That is, I was chosen. Nothing makes me special. I was chosen for this. Humility and courage. And it's foiled perfectly there with the arrogance of the evil Red Skull and the humility of Captain America. Humility and courage. Humility and courage. Humility is saying, nothing about me is deserving of this gift, this talent, this ability that I was chosen for. Yet here I am. Here I am. And for all of us, the Bible preaches that we were all sinners. That's what Romans 3:23 says. All of us have sinned, and we've all fallen short of God's grace. We've all fallen short of deserving God's forgiveness. Nothing makes us special. If we get what we deserve hell. Nothing sets it apart. And yet, the Bible says, and yet, God chose to forgive us and show us grace. Ephesians 2:8 says, it's by his grace, his gift, that you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's a gift. And when this humility takes root, it sets root in our hearts, knowing that, man, every day I have is a gift. Heaven is a gift. Salvation is a gift. The gifts and talents and abilities, my home, my family, this very breath that I have, it's all a gift. Man, what power that gives you to get through the day. What purpose that gives you to get through the day. If this breath is a gift from God, it means he has a reason that I'm breathing right now. If God has me alive today, that means there's somebody who's going to cross my path that I can share his love with. Humility and courage. Humility and courage. And as we kind of close up, Steve Rogers unveils, he sees what Red Skull's final plan is. He sees the bombs. He sees that he's trying to drop these mega nuclear type weapons on all these major U.S. cities. And what you see in this next clip here, as he sees the bombs, each one of the bombs has a city's name written on it. He sees Chicago. He sees Boston. And then as you see here, what really hits him and gets home to him is, he sees the bomb that says, New York. That's my home. That's my home. Y'all know that a lot of us know the scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and to give you a future. It's a beautiful scripture. It's a beautiful scripture. The Lord's plan is the one that prevails. But Ephesians 6 also tells us that we need to stand strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, so that we can withstand the plans of the enemy. Just how it hit home with us. Oh my goodness. My home is being targeted. Some of us need to wake up for a second and see, oh my goodness, the devil is targeting my home, my city, my state, my country, my world, and wake up. But y'all know the truth that God's plan, God's purpose will prevail. He's the one who holds the victory in his hands. And it's up to us to stand strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. It's up to us to stand strong with humility and to stand strong with courage. And what we see in this last clip, we see humility and we see courage at the testing point. Because what happens in this last clip is that Steve sees the bombs. He also realizes that he has to make one big startling decision. He sees that the Red Skull has left this plane that he's on, locked on autopilot, heading straight for New York. And there's nowhere else to land the plane. And that leaves Steve with an agonizing decision that he has to make.
Rogers, what is your...
Steve, is that you? Are you all right?
Peggy, Schmidt's dead.
What about the plane?
That's a little bit tougher to explain.
Give me your coordinates. I'll find you a safe landing site.
It's not going to be a safe landing.
But I can try and force it down.
I'll get Howard on the line. He'll know what to do.
There's not enough time. This thing's moving too fast and it's heading for New York.
I got to put her in the water.
Please, don't do this. We have time. We can work it out.
Right now, I'm in the middle of nowhere. If I wait any longer, a lot of people are going to die. Peggy. This is my choice.
A week next Saturday at the Stork Club.
You got it.
8 o'clock on the dock. Don't you dare be late. Understood?
You know, I still don't know how to dance.
I'll show you how. Just be there.
We'll have the band play something slow.
Steve? Steve? Steve?
Humility and courage. Think, not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. The author J.R. Tolkien had a theory that the greatness of a story can be measured by how much it reflects the greatest story of the gospel. The eternal truth of the God who loved us so much that he came down from heaven to earth to lay down his life for us. And you see so many epic, touching moments of cinema and in literature of, you know, this heroic fantasy genre where the heroic lay down their lives to save others. From Captain America to Iron Man to Gandalf to there's so many different examples of people laying down their lives, being willing to. And why does that make our hearts rise up? Why does that touch our hearts? Why does that move us? It reflects the greatest truth. 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. How do we know what love even is? Because Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Why do our hearts leap with us? Why do our hearts respond to seeing these stories of these great heroes laying down their lives? Because our hearts were created to respond to the God who laid down his life for us. Humility and courage. Humility and courage. At the beginning, we said there's a strength that's greater than strength. This mixture of humility and courage that's impossible. Let me put it this way. If we want to truly see that develop in our own lives, humility and courage, it's impossible without faith. Trusting in Jesus, trusting in God, trusting that no matter what the situation is, because there's times where humility will seem weak, and there's times where courage will seem foolish. But the Apostle Paul gives this beautiful verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It says that the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. God's not weak. God's not foolish. But if what God is calling you to in obedience seems weak, seems foolish, step out. Trust. Step out and trust. And it will develop that humility, that superpower of humility and courage within you that's only made perfect by leaning on him. Full faith, absolute trust, leaning on him. How is that made possible? Because Jesus modeled it for us in Philippians chapter 2. He says this, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. This is the gospel, who being in very nature God, even though he was God, all powerful, all knowing, had all of it. He didn't consider his status as God something for him to hold on to or to use to his own advantage, the Bible says. But rather, he made himself nothing, took the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, what does it say that the God of the universe did? He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. We don't see the word courage written out, but that's why Paul puts that little exclamation mark at the end. Even death on a cross. He humbled himself with the courage of choosing to be crucified for you and me. Humility and courage. How do we have we've had the guidance all morning of be more humble, be more courageous. But y'all know the gospel doesn't just bash you over the head and tell you to do something. The gospel empowers you to be able to do it. When we look to Jesus Christ on the cross, the Bible says we are looking to the author and the perfecter of our faith. When we look to Jesus, when we look to what he did for you and for me, the fact that he humbled himself, not just for the world, but for me. The fact that he showed that courage to take the nails in his hands and in his feet, not just for the world, but for me. And doesn't that give you the power to stay humble when it seems weak? To stay courageous when it seems foolish? It's only through the gospel that we can. Everybody with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, you may be moved by the story, you know, of heroes laying down their lives, but it's because there's a true story of the hero who laid down his life for us. If you want to have that humility and have that courage, it begins with putting your faith and your trust in Jesus so that we can be forgiven, we can be made new, we can be transformed, just like we talked about. It's what he wants for us. So if you want that, if you're in the room with us or if you're watching online and you want that, our church, we're committed to praying with anyone who wants to pray that prayer each and every week. So if you want to pray that prayer, we're not going to make you come up front. We're not going to call you out or anything like that. This is between you and God. But what we will do is I'll give you some words to help you along, help your heart. Put some words to that hope and that desire that you have in your hearts this morning. It's not the words that save you. It's your heart reaching out to God in faith and in trust. And so, church, if you're in the room right now, I just ask you, pray these words out loud. And if you want to pray this prayer, I ask that you just join with us and say these words. Everybody in the room this morning, say, Dear Jesus, I thank you that you humbled yourself. I thank you for the courage you showed on the cross. That you shed your blood for me. God, I'm a sinner and I've messed up. I've made so many mistakes. But I trust in you for forgiveness. I accept the gift of forgiveness from you. And God, I commit my life to you. Make me new. I thank you. In Jesus' name. Can everybody say amen this morning? Can y'all put your hands together for those who prayed that prayer this morning? Now, if you prayed that prayer this morning, I have one more thing to ask of you. I ask that you don't keep it to yourself. Let one of the pastors know. You can come up and talk to me at the... I'm going to pray one more prayer. Come and talk to me. Find one of our team members out there in the foyer. Let them know you prayed that prayer this morning because it is the single greatest and biggest decision that you will make in your entire life. And we want to help you in those next steps with that. And so saying that, I'm going to pray one more prayer of just blessing over all of us. And then we'll be dismissed this morning. God, we just thank you this morning for who you are, that you, God, we're moved by all these heroes, but God, they're just echoes. They're fantasy, but God, you are reality. You are truth, God. You are the hero that's greater than all these myths and fantasies. You are the truth, God. You are the hero. You are the way maker. You're the miracle worker, and you are the God all powerful who humbled yourself to die for me, to die for us, so we could be made new. And God, you didn't stay dead. You rose again from the grave to show us that we can have new life. And God, our eternity is secure with you. God, we just thank you that you've triumphed over death, sin, hell, and the grave. And God, you call us to new purpose and new life. I pray that as we walk out these doors today, that this week, God, we would walk with just fresh purpose, that we would walk seeing the ones around us, God, who need a touch from you, who need your love, and who need your gospel truth. God, empower us, give us humility, and give us courage this week. We love you and we praise you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Can everyone say one more good amen today? Amen. Amen.